This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Yeah, I'm pretty stupid for wearing a long sleeve and pants, so. But I'm stubborn, so I had to learn for myself. For me, it's just getting better one day at a time. You know, it's I have to get better, and if I'm playing my best ball, things will take care of itself, and just helping each other out. I mean, the main goal for this team, which is, it's pretty well understood, is we're trying to win. No matter who's in there, we want to win football games, and that's the main message.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Love me some serious Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Oh, so serious, but coachable.
Mm-hmm.
Very coachable.
You know, thing I heard in there, Adam, was learning from mistakes.
That's exactly right.
Improving day to day. That's what you want in a quarterback who evaluates themselves, whether it's through film, independent study, whatever it may be, to get better. We've seen that one day in with Baker
already?
Mayfield. One day, we're going to see an improvement.
Massive improvements from Baker Mayfield.
Man. He's going to look better.
Shouldn't wear pants and long sleeves in Spartanburg. All right, we're going to talk about that later.
Ever.
Gosh, it's so funny. It's the Adam Gold Show. I am him. That is Dennis Cox. We are here for until they kick us out. But they will kick us out because they kick us out at the same time every day. Just before 3 o'clock. So we got a lot of time to take care of a lot of things. We're on TV. Hi. If you are local to the Raleigh WRAL TV5 viewing area, over the air, over the antenna, 34.1, Spectrum Cable 1257, Roku, Fire, Android, Apple TV, WRAL Sports Plus, you can find us. Man, there are so many good things, including candles today.
Ooh.
Yeah.
16 of them?
Do you like it? No. That was a good movie. That was a good sort of a coming-of-age movie. Those movies all came out like rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast Club, which I watched Saturday night? Are you familiar with that movie?
Oh, yeah.
It's very good. St. Elmo's Fire.
Mm-hmm.
I actually spoke to somebody who was in that movie, legitimately in that movie, yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. My friend Matthew Lawrence, who All used right. to do Duke Radio for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew had a very long acting career in Hollywood, and his character, Rod D'Alessandro, was one of the neighbors of the Brat Pack, of one of the one of the kids in the Brat Pack,
all
in
right.
St. Elmo's Fire. I had talked to Matthew for about a half hour last night, so that's I don't know why I brought that up, but I did. So St. Elmo's Fire, Breakfast Club, 16 Candles. God, I'm trying to remember the movie with Rob Lowe and Andrew McCarthy, where McCarthy has an affair with Rob Lowe's mother. They're both in boarding school.
Class.
Oh, my. Did you just do a Google search? Yep. Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy movie. Mm-hmm. Very nice. You're fast. That was a great movie. A super movie, Class. By the way, Jacqueline Bisset, great actress. Just leave it there. Just great actress.
Just going to leave it right there.
But anyways, yeah, I don't even. How did I get in the Breakfast Club? How did that happen already?
Well, you mentioned candles. We're going to talk about candles.
That's right.
I said 16 of them.
Look at you.
Yeah. I sent you down that rabbit hole.
I appreciate you. You left enough breadcrumbs to get us back.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you very much. Anyway, we are going to talk about candles and Christian McCaffrey. All right, let's just start before I blow it. It is Baker Mayfield Day. Yesterday was the Sam Darnold show. Today, Baker's time to shine.
For me, it's just getting better one day at a time. You know, it's I have to get better, and if I'm playing my best ball, things will take care of itself, and just helping each other out. I mean, the main goal for this team, which is, it's pretty well understood, is we're trying to win. No matter who's in there, we want to win football games, and that's the main message.
He says so many good football-y things.
Yes.
So many good football-y things.
Getting better.
Oh, yeah. Just
improving day to day.
We're just trying to win games. Competing. Doesn't matter who's in there. Look, just.
It's a team.
He's so polished. Look, I've always said this about Baker, and I think we'll find out this to be true over time this year. I think the biggest advantage that Mayfield has over Darnold is presence. I don't think his physical skills are significantly better than Sam's, if they are at all. But Mayfield carries himself like a star. Really better than the quarterback that he is, but he carries himself like a number one, like a leader, all of those things. And that matters. And I think that's probably Mayfield's biggest advantage over Darnold is his presence. So I even though Hayes Permar, when he was filling in two times ago or whatever it was, has a pending wager, Sam Darnold plus 200 to be week one starter.
Yep.
I sort of hope he's right, but I don't think he's going to be unless there's an injury involved. I think Baker ultimately will win this job. Day two is his time to work with the ones. Yesterday he worked with the twos. On the flip side of that is you're also working against the ones, and we know how good the Panthers' defense can be, although two players did not practice today. Mm-hmm. Shaq Thompson again, J.C. Horn again. And those are two starters, you know, in the Panthers' top 11 on defense.
Carryover PTO, I guess.
Yeah. Look, they're both on the pup list. Horn is on the active pup list. I don't know why there's a list called active pup, although pups by nature are active. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why. Anyway, we heard it at the beginning, but I want to hear it again. Baker Mayfield is coachable and learning from his mistakes.
Yeah, I'm pretty stupid for wearing a long sleeve and pants, so. But I'm stubborn, so I had to learn for myself.
Spartanburg hits different.
Yeah.
The heat of Spartanburg hits a little bit different. Have you ever been to Panthers training camp?
I've never been to training camp, no, but I've been by Wofford, yes.
Okay, well, we went a couple of years in a row. It seems the air is just a tad heavier in Spartanburg.
They're in the upstate.
Yeah, but they're not high up in the – really not up in the mountains.
Well, it's like the area of the state. It's called the upstate.
Oh, right. So it's – I don't know, man. It's almost like a valley, isn't it, Spartanburg?
Kind of is.
It's just – the air just sits on top of you.
It's just dense.
It pushes you to the ground. So,
it's like a weighted blanket.
Like, man, if we're having training camp, I realize they're at Wofford for a reason, obviously, Jerry Richardson. But, man, if there was a way to have training camp in a place that was cooler, like, the Panthers should have training camp in Asheville.
Yeah.
Just go to Asheville. I was talking to somebody who's like part of their Tourism and Visitors Bureau over the week, like last week. And he was saying, you know, it's only 74 degrees right now. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go there now.
Well, I know the Saints do their training camp in West Virginia.
Oh, I'm sure it's gorgeous in West Virginia. No,
in the Blue Ridge.
And they do it in the mountains.
Yeah, they do it in the mountains in West Virginia.
Oh, okay. That's much better.
I want to say it's. They do it in Beckley or somewhere around Beckley, I think.
Oh.
But that's traditionally
near where the rivers.
Exactly.
Oh.
So that's a big thing. Like the Saints, when they get a day off, a lot of them like go fishing and things like that. So the Saints do that.
Rafting.
I want to say that Dallas or maybe it's Kansas City does theirs in Wisconsin.
Well, Dallas goes to.
They go to Napa.
The Cowboys go to Napa?
I think they went to Napa. I think that's where they do it.
Okay. That's tremendous.
Because why not?
You should.
I think Kansas City goes up to Wisconsin, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd go to the Yukon.
Yeah, I would.
I would go to Nova Scotia to do training camp. Have you ever gone whitewater rafting, Dennis?
Whitewater rafting, no.
I recommend whitewater rafting to everyone I know. It is so much fun to do. Get on a good river.
challenge yourself, get a guide in the boat, have a blast. It is a great, absolute great time.
It's Oxnard, California.
Okay, that's where the Cowboys go, Oxnard. I don't know where Oxnard is, but it sounds hot to me. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they don't are familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that will help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. All right, one more thing. I mentioned candles. If there was a story, try to remember where I read the story, but Christian McCaffrey, actually, he was on ESPN.com. Christian McCaffrey has, he admits, the bougiest dorm room on the roster.
Very nice.
So he went out to and just decorated the whole room. He's got a rug. He's got a bunch of pillows, a lot of blankets, candles. He's got all sorts of candles in his room. It's great. And if you're Christian McCaffrey and you've got a bunch of candles in your room, nobody is making fun of you. Nobody is going, gosh, what's up with the dude with the candle? Because it's Christian McCaffrey. And if he wants to put a poster of Gloria Gaynor on the wall, look it up. Look it up. I will survive. If he wants to put a Gloria Gaynor poster on the wall, it suddenly is cool to have a Gloria Gaynor poster on the wall. Look at it. Look up. You can bump with Gloria Gaynor later on. And Eric McLean will go, what the hell is he bumping with Gloria Gaynor for?
I mean, hearing all that, this room.
Oh, perfect. It's tremendous. I'm telling you. We got to talk about candles later. Okay, let's... I'll just keep going. I don't care. Ben Roethlisberger walks back the comments. Look, you can play George Michael all day for me. I don't care. 2 days ago, Ben Roethlisberger went public with his dismay at what he called a lot of me-first players these days. You know, the kids these days,
yes,
they don't care about the team. They only care about themselves. This is the classic old man yells at cloud. But one of the very best players in the entire league, like Ben, an only Steeler, Cam Hayward, he was not amused.
Man, they rubbed me the wrong way. Ben is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he has played 18 years in our league, all with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was a little bit upset about it because I was always raised to protect the locker room, protect the guys. And the way it seems is, and this is my point of view, this is what I see. It looks as though we're looked at as selfish players. And I think that's not the point. I think we have a lot of young players that come from different backgrounds. I think we have guys that have experienced different things than what I or somebody else might experience. And that doesn't make them selfish, or it doesn't make them more of a me-type attitude.
By the way, Cam would be the best defensive tackle in football if Aaron Donald would just retire.
Yeah, he would be. That's the thing. A lot of people don't realize how good Cam
He's
Hayward
amazing.
Is because that bar is so darn high.
Cam Hayward is amazing. Like you and I talk about this. The Steelers have three of the best defensive players in the entire league on the same team with T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, right?
Yeah.
They have the makings, the guts of an incredible defense. They don't need a ton out of their offense to be good. I just don't know what they're going to get out of Mitch Trubisky and an offensive line that is still developing, right? We just don't know. But, man, their defense could be absolutely awesome. I hope they all stay healthy. But can I just explain to Ben that if there was ever a sport to have a me-first attitude, it would be football. The average careers are basically 3 years. You're lucky. I mean, really lucky. Unless you are a star, you are really lucky to make a good living. Something that kind of sets you up for the rest of your life. Because the majority of these guys are out of the league quickly.
Most don't see through their rookie contracts.
I mean, like, I don't even want to call it a rookie contract. You've heard me say this. They should not even call it a rookie contract. They should call it a first contract.
Yeah.
Because I believe the number is about, like, the percentage is about 50% of first-round picks that get the second contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of those things that if the NFL Players Association were stronger, then the first contract wouldn't be 5 years for first-round picks and 4 years for everybody else. It would be 3 years for first-round picks and 2 years for everybody else. Because they basically take the best of your career at your lowest earning potential.
Yeah.
Unless you're a quarterback, or unless you are lucky enough as a player to avoid injury and be really good by the time you get to that second contract. I mean, you look at what some of the NBA players make, right? Some of the just the middle of your roster NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I honestly don't know, but gosh, what does PJ Tucker make? Now, PJ Tucker's a starter and a valuable piece, but he's more of an intangible piece, right? And PJ Tucker has probably made conservatively $200 million in his career, I bet. Right?
Well, so you just made $7 million this past year.
$7 million is a star. Not a quarterback star,
mm-hmm.
right? Not a quarterback star, not a like the offensive tackle, but if you make $7 million in the NFL, you are probably no worse than 10th on your team out of 50-something in salary.
In his upcoming contract, he just signed a 3-year, $33 million deal.
PJ Tucker. Sixers.
Yep.
Going to make $11 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the NFL guys, they don't make that much money. As I've been arguing this for a while. I think the NFL salary cap is at least $100 million too low.
Yeah.
Salary cap should be over $300 million per team. It just should be. The players should make more money. We have no middle class in the NFL. We have no middle class.
I think one of the reasons why the rookie contracts go to 4 years is because to reach unrestricted free agency, you have to have played more than 3 years. So if you only have 3 years of term in the NFL, let's say you're an undrafted rookie and you play 3 years with a team as an undrafted rookie,
right?
You're a restricted free agent.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why the rookies' contracts that are drafted.
All
yeah.
of that is part of CBA negotiations. Every element of that is negotiated.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We all know like the union's so weak in the NFL.
Again, another thing that has been talked about for decades. Too many of the guys in the league who don't make a lot of money can't afford to miss the year.
Exactly.
And if enough of the players were willing to miss the year, all of this would change.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, and I understand.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
I understand why. Let's see how many more things we can get through, because we got to get to the most important thing from last night. The American announced their preseason predictions. This came out earlier today. Houston, Cincinnati, Central Florida, 1, 2, 3. Do you know?
Interesting.
Do you know what is similar about all three of those schools? Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida.
They're all about to leave.
Exactly. Very good. Can't put anything past you, Dennis.
Nope.
SMU, Memphis, East Carolina, 4, 5, 6. ECU is right in the middle, right? I mean, 6 out of 11. Tulane, Tulsa, South Florida, Navy, and Temple bringing up the rear. Preseason ACC honors yesterday. We talked about this briefly when it came out, like between 2 and 3. Five NC State players voted to the first team. We had Drake Thomas, Peyton Wilson on at linebacker, Tanner Engel safety, Grant Gibson the center, Devin Leary on offense. And Leary also got preseason ACC Player of the Year honors. I'm going to play that song all day.
You mentioned Devin Leary.
Right, I understand. Josh Downs, twice honored, wide receiver and specialist. A.T. Perry, wide receiver for Wake Forest, also on the team. Look, there were so many players that got Player of the Year votes.
Yeah.
Right? So,
like 11 or 12?
There were six that got double-digit votes. I have to go back and look, but I can't imagine that we've ever had a year where there were six players that got double-digit support for that. So, I mean, I have seen a fair amount of people wondering, how did Sam Hartman not get put up? Like, Devin Leary was named the Player of the Year, preseason Player of the Year, which is just a guess. It's all it is. It's a guess. Mm-hmm. He got 24.4% of the vote. Three times as many people voted for somebody not named Devin Leary as voted for Devin Leary. So,
looking back last
it's
year,
it's just weird.
Sam Howell had 114 votes.
Right.
De'Ara King was second with 11. Just to kind of give you the contrast between last year and this year.
I mean, we had so many candidates for that role, for that honor. So there's just no point. Like if people did 1, 2, and 3, I mean, Leary could have gotten a ton of third place votes for all we know, mm-hmm. right? We have no idea how that whole thing would have played out. But anyway, I just don't think it's worth really being surprised at. All right, let me throw this at you because. We saw something last night that is electric, and it's just one of the best things in sports. And it's not Starling Marte's walk-off single that had the Mets sweep the Yankees with a 3-2 win last night. Four times last night, Max Scherzer faced Aaron Judge. And four times, Max won the duel. He got him swinging in the third with a couple of runners on. Again in the fifth with the bases empty. Then in the seventh, Mets with a 2-0 lead. Two on, two outs. Here's this.
Got him, Chase. Max Scherzer sets down Judge for the third time. And he walks off the mound on his birthday after seven innings.
Max Scherzer was incredible last night, but it was sort of, I'm not saying he was lucky. He was incredible when he had to be incredible. Because the Yankees actually hit a bunch of balls hard, came close to scoring some runs, but when Max Scherzer needed an out, he got it. And the pitches that he threw to Aaron Judge last night were nasty. I mean, nasty sliders. And on that confrontation in the seventh inning, and I contend there is nothing better in sports than elite pitcher versus elite hitter in a tough spot, in a dramatic situation. Seventh inning, go-ahead run at the plate in the form of Aaron Judge, the major league leader in home runs, who homered the night before against the Mets, and you've got one of the best pitchers still in the game in Max Scherzer. It was just awesome. A great confrontation. Judge is going to win his share of those. I mean, flat out going to win his share of those, but it didn't happen last night. And I swear that Scherzer was pitching around DJ LeMahieu to get to Judge. Like, he liked the matchup better against Judge than he did against LeMahieu. But just, I think, another good night of baseball in New York. I mean, dramatic two teams that are really good, maybe the two of the best four teams in the sport. And maybe they'll meet again in the play. Well, they're definitely going to meet again this year. There's another two-game series in August, but maybe they'll meet in the playoffs in the World Series. That would be awesome for Mets and Yankees fans. Mm-hmm. But I think it was just absolutely incredible. Here's Scherzer. Scherzer's line from because he was on the injured list for like 7 weeks. He's made 5 starts since coming back from the injured list.
Okay.
32 and a third innings.
That's a lot.
Yeah. 5 earned runs.
That's not a lot.
1.39 ERA.
That's very low.
45 strikeouts, 4 walks, 23 hits.
Goodness.
I mean, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding
That's
me.
That's just stupid.
Right. So yeah, he's made it. He's gone at least 6 innings in all 5 starts since coming off the IL. So he's been just tremendous. Yankees made a trade after the game last night. They got Andrew Benintendi from the Royals for 3 prospects. The only problem with that for the Yankees is that if Benintendi doesn't meet Mr. Moderna, then future games against the Blue Jays in Toronto are compromised because he can't go. He was one of the Royals players who couldn't go to Toronto a couple weeks ago.
13, I think, or something along
those lines. They had like 13 players who couldn't go.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I'm sorry, I don't. Because it is possible the Yankees and Blue Jays could meet in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Those would be difficult games to miss. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe you can just move on without Andrew Benintendi, but then why'd you trade for him? That's just a question.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.